Blog Talk Radio.
Today on this beautiful day, regardless of the rain, regardless of the cold, regardless of the wetness, we are all here to see it, to live it, to feel it, to breathe it. So I'm grateful either way. I just wanted to take a quick second to say thank you to Dunny Brown, to Soul Ray, and to Fee Sexy Ma, and for everyone that called in to wish me a happy birthday or who went on my Facebook page and wrote such beautiful, 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 heartfelt comments about how they felt about me and how, you know, they felt about our friendship and, you know, things like that. It really, really touched me. It was totally unexpected, and it made me feel very, very good, I must say. And not to mention, it also just motivated me and gave me more drive to work even harder to do the things that I, you know, have set forth to do for myself in the community, with my family, with my friends, and with the people out there that need the empowerment. I'm just, like, so excited and so thrilled to have, you know, the mind frame, the heart, and just the concepts to just want to give and do and be. So to all those, again, thank you. And for all those who didn't get a chance, is no problem. It's still love here with Miss P. Now, I just also wanted to touch on the bases real quick about Off the Page magazine, another project that I am totally, totally super excited about. I have finally made everything official, and the website is actually being worked on as we speak. It's offthepagemagazine.com. There's going to be a extension where people can, you know, log on and join and become members. You're going to be able to subscribe. You're going to be able to read articles. You're going to be able to be in it. You're going to be able to just be a part of something that's just bigger than, you know, I could even anticipate it. Everyone that, you know, has heard about the idea, I've been getting a lot of great feedback. I've been getting a lot of good, you know, connections, and, you know, networking has been hard, and you know, doing a bunch of research and trying to pull it all together has been a job, but nevertheless, I know that it's going to be great results, so I'm just totally looking forward to it. And for all those who tune into the Intune Show, or basically have, you know anyone that's talented, hey, listen, even if you're not as talented as you think you are, we all have things that we are creative about, we are open-minded about. There's so many different things that you can add to another person that even the most littlest thing that you think is not relevant can change someone's life. By just having a conversation sometime can change someone's life. So don't feel like you don't have nothing to offer, and please don't feel like, okay, you know, this is just another thing that Ms. P is trying to go out there and do to boost herself up. This is just something that Ms. P is trying to go out there and do to boost up the community and strengthen, you know, the souls around us. So if you know anyone, may it be a little child, a cousin, an uncle, a coworker, a friend, a neighbor, anybody that's talented that you feel should be out there, then by all means, you know, go on the Intune page or email me at missp@offthepagemagazine.com And just tell me a little bit about this person, and, you know, let's get them booked, let's get them set up, and let's get them in the magazine so we can get that exposure out there to these people. As far as, like, the models and stuff is concerned, we're still looking for models, we're still looking for music artists, we're still looking for photographers, makeup artists, stylists, we're still looking for people, because I never want to close the door on anyone. I always want to keep the doors open where different people come along all the time and they get a chance to network and, you know, showcase themselves as individuals and, you know, for their talents and their creativity and what they bring to the universe. So basically the doors are never closed for these opportunities. It's just that within each issue there would be a certain time frame that we would be looking for submissions for applications and, you know, registration fees and stuff like that. So I will be having that more laid out by the end of next weekend. Anyway, going forward, we're going to stop talking about business right now, and we're going to talk about the incredible guy that's going to be on today. His name is Devon Fitzgerald, and his company is Devon Fitzgerald Photography, and he's an upcoming photographer, and he's young, he's ambitious, he's motivated, and he's most of all has brain, along with the beauty that he has within his heart. That, you know, is truly amazing to me. I had an opportunity to work with him at one point, and I look forward to all the things in the future that we have to work with together. And he'll be on shortly to talk about, you know, him branching off and him starting his company and things of that nature. We'll get to know him a little bit. For this time, though, we're going to play a song, and, you know, we're going to vibe to that a little bit, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about a few things that I found that was crazy in the news, as usual. And then we'll be talking to Devon. So let's warm up to a little song by Young Rose.
I'm on the track. Jeezy just threw it to me like a quarterback. My money is beanstalk, too high for Jack. So if you ain't about money, fall back with that. Caplende, please don't get smoked like chimneys. Take it easy, not the harder way like Penne. Cause I get crazy when I sip on a Henne. Got these bitches sweating like they running in a relay. I just play my track and you gon' wanna hear a replay. Sugar coated diamonds in my watch, I call it candy. Flow stupid like I was Max Philly. And my money dirty like them hillbillies. That's words. Yeah, ask my Aunt Millie. They knew I was gon' be the kid like Dilly. Free my nigga, yeah, that's Max Bigavelli. Flow stay raw like Sex in the City. So stop me if you could. I've been spitting fire. Y'all niggas adding wood. My life is like a can. I'm so full of goods. Louis and Gucci store. Yeah, that's my hood. It's only right I should stay above you like a satellite. Used to wanna play ball, but I ain't have the height. But I feel like Jordan when I grab the mic. I'm a two leader and you a half as bright. I get out of hand. I'm a prison fight. All I see is green. I live a money life. All I see is green, like Wiz Khalifa weed. Born to kill shit. I am Chuck E. Cheese. Music is in my lungs. Versus is what I breathe. Hard to believe that Rose is a human being. And if life's a bitch, I'ma make her my queen. And let my Jerry Springer then pass her off to Steve. I find this type amusing. I'm the one you hate, but my name you're using. Alarm clock is me. If you're snoozing, nigga, wake up. You smell the music.
Yeah, so that was Young Rose with It's Only Music, mixtape dropping this summer, 2011. Totally excited about it, and I just can't wait. So, anyway, moving right along, I just wanted to talk about, you know, this thing that they had in the news about the no cop DNA and the East Village rape. Well, basically, they had in the news about a forensic cop took the stand yesterday in the so-called rape cop case and said there was no hair evidence for the DNA linking officers to the alleged victim in the East Village home. So basically what's going on is there's two cops that's being accused of rape, and the girl is saying that, you know, she's 29 years old, and she said that she has been raped and everything by the two cops, but they're now saying that there's no evidence that's leading to them, to the officers, you know, doing this crime, so they may be getting off. But my thing is, it's just like, you know, if they're saying none of the hair matches either one of the alleged officers and everything like that, then how come, you know, when they saying that she, you know, she was she's accusing him of rape, but if they weren't the ones who raped, then how come they were coming back and forth to the person's house? You know, they have it on camera, you know, that, you know, she was basically she was intoxicated, and a police, you know, a cab driver called the cops to have her escorted home after leaving a party. And he was seen in the surveillance videos revisiting her apartment like four times that night. And they're trying to argue that the woman was totally intoxicated, so how would she know whether or not she was raped or not? So basically, it's just like, it's just one of those things where they could face 25 years in jail, et cetera. But my thing is that if it was a total innocent thing, and, you know, they weren't, what cop, you know, comes back four times or several times to your place to make sure you're okay? You know, cops have visit my apartments, you know, growing up and stuff like that, during things that was happening with my parents and stuff of that nature, or just in a building with things that's happening in the neighborhood and stuff like that. And I've never, ever seen them come back to check on the individuals ever, you know, and so if something else had occurred or they were sent back to make an arrest or something like that, that's the only time you see a cop come back. But when do you really see a cop come back several times to check on an intoxicated person? If anything, if they felt that she was in danger like that, then they should have escorted her to the hospital where then she could have, you know, been monitored and stuff like that if they were so concerned about her well-being. But, you know, the evidence is in the pudding, and I don't know if it's something about if it's twisted forensics or something like that where they're trying to get the cops off. I'm a big forensics fan, you know, and I know evidence speaks in volumes, but however, I'm also a realist, and I realize that sometimes people, you know, botch evidence to accommodate other situations. So I don't know what's going on with that, but we got to keep our ear to the ground, because it's so funny how sometimes cops just get away with so many different things that go on in the public because, oh, they acted in the right way. You know, they acted in the right way because the person was belligerent or this happened or that happened, and they always getting off scot-free with so much stuff and shoot-ins and, you know, messing up with evidence and stuff like that. They stick up for each other. It's just a really sad thing because the cops, judicial system was set up to protect us, but sometimes it's just never like that. So that was just this one thing that was, you know, blowing my mind, and I was kind of, you know, wondering what the outcome was going to turn out that, but we already see what path is on. It's probably going to go in favor of the police officers. I also wanted to talk about the, you know, what's going on with the four women brutally murdered by stabbed, you know, getting stabbed in the past 2 weeks. You know, it's like domestic violence is just going into a staggering pace right now because, you know, Daniela Marino and Sarah Coit and Larissa Pocasito and her mom and Tatiana, I mean, all these women were basically killed in a two-week time frame by, you know, lovers, jilted lovers and stuff of that nature. And, you know, I was being told, this is kind of funny, but it's not funny. Monday and Tuesday, I kind of had like a meltdown and stuff because there's just so much going on, and I'm constantly like going, and my brain is like going. And I was told by my employer and a few other people that hang around me all the time, oh, Precious, you had a meltdown and you was acting like this and acting like that. But, you know, it's so weird because I didn't see myself doing all this stuff. So it's just like being drunk, totally, you know, inebriated beyond repair. And you just wake up the next day with such a hangover, or you just have a blackout and you don't remember. However, I wasn't intoxicated. I think that I got to the point where I was so overwhelmed that my brain just kind of shut down, and anything that happened from that point that it shut down from the point that it re-alerted itself again, I'm totally oblivious to half the things that people said I said and did and stuff like that. So in any case, the reason why I'm bringing this all up is because all these people that were murdered, basically they're saying that they didn't remember and they was angry and they blacked out and blah, 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 blah. That, excuse me, that old traditional story in court that, you know, you don't remember or insanity or whatever. But for the first time in my life, I can honestly say that I was in a position where my mind just totally went, or my soul just went outside of my body, and I was just a whole nother person to people that are familiar with me. And when my soul reentered its shell, it was like, what? What happened? It was like, you know, it's just like one of those things. So now I think I can be a believer of when people say sometimes, but not in all regards, you know, or to make an excuse for why people do what they do. But sometimes I can actually see now that people can totally just black out and don't remember. And it doesn't have to be an alcohol or a drug-induced situation. So it's just kind of scary because right now I just feel like people are being pushed to the limit with so many different things. And we don't know how to reach out for help because we don't want to say that there's something wrong, or some of us don't even know what to do or have strong people around us that can notice the signs and try to push us and guide us in the right direction. But if there's anybody out there that you guys know that you see are acting a little different or they're just doing too much, kind of try to slow them down and kind of try to be there for them and make sure that they're good, because, you know, people are losing their lives every day beyond anything we can imagine anymore because of the stress levels and the different situations that we are put in on a daily basis that just kind of pull us out of ourselves sometimes. Because I know we all can relate to the fact that we all felt like, what, you know, we were out having an out-of-body experience at some point in our life in certain situations, whether it was with a husband, a wife, a lover, a friend, your child, or a neighbor next door. Sometimes certain situations pull you out of your realm, and sometimes you can snap back, and then sometimes there's no recovering from them. And by the time you do recover, it's just something that it can't be fixed, like these poor women that lost their lives. So my heart goes out to them and their families, and, you know, I just, you know, pray that, you know, people would start trying to find another way when they feel like they're, you know, they're there and they're at their minimum of, you know, tolerance, that they can reach out to someone and help. And I just wish and hope and pray that the people around these people that see these signs can reach out and help them as well. So on another note in the news and stuff like that, you know, they had this thing about this guy who killed his grandmother for a dollar. Yes, in Harlem. It says Larry Davis, 22, the man of an who is accused of killing his grandmother, stuffing her in the closet, and then having sex with another woman in her bed became frustrated, after his grandmother would lend him a dollar. Okay? According to the prosecutors, you know, they say that he asked his grandmother for $175 and shoved her when she only gave him $1. Prosecutors say that grandmother fell backwards and broke, you know, her neck. So basically this is what's, you know, happening in our world. You know, like, are you kidding me? Are you seriously kidding me that you're going to sit there and shove your grandmother because she's on probably Social Security disability and receiving a minimum amount of money every month to take care of herself, which is not covering nothing? Because we have to think about it. Just because we say there's insurance, there's really no insurance. They're not covering nothing. You know, these people are getting a base amount of money every month, and their expenses supersede what their income level is. So if he's 22 years old and you can't go out there and find a job after she worked all her life or did whatever she did in her life to accumulate what she's her funds, and then you mean to tell me you have to go out there and hurt her and take her life over a dollar? Come on. Be real. He needs to be thrown in jail and locked up and never released again in life. So anyway, let me put on Davon and let's talk about that. Maybe he has some insight on, you know, the few things that I discussed. Let's put him on now. Davon, is that you?
Hello. Yes.
Hey, Davon.
Hey, how you doing?
How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you're on with us.
I'm glad, too.
Yeah,
I was on nervous for a second. I don't want to be sitting here stuttering and stuff, you know. But
no, when you get stuck, you can just always take a break, and I'll do all the talking like I normally do. No, but I was just talking about, you know, how this 22-year-old guy killed his grandmother because she gave him a dollar.
Really?
And he shoved her, and she fell back and broke her neck. So I was just, you know, saying how crazy the world is becoming because,
over
I mean,
dollar?
At 23, over a dollar, 22 years old, you should have a job. You shouldn't have to ask your grandmother for anything. You know,
I mean,
so
that's not
really
even
sad.
The case. I mean, not even that. It's just like, you know, she's better be lucky she even gave you something. But to push her because of that, I think he maybe had some issues himself, you know, like honestly. Because if you were to do something like that to your grandmother who basically took care of you or whatever, then you have some issues that you need to deal with yourself, you know.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, your grandmother is someone who you have the most respect for. Respect for, because you know she birthed your mother, and you know I don't know. It's just to
it's a fine line. It's
her,
a fine line. You know, you just don't cross certain lines.
To cause harm, whether it be verbal, whether it be physical, anything that's, I think that's too much. I think that you have to have some type of issues, or you guys have to have some type of confrontation before this or something. You know, he must have had some hate. In his heart for her or something. But you can't just do that.
Right,
like,
without a conscience over a dollar.
Yeah, you know, it has to be something behind it.
Yeah, absolutely. But my heart goes out to the family, and I just, you know, I hope he gets the help that he needs going forward. But anyway, Davon, yay, on the intro show. I'm so excited. So, everybody, this is Davon Fitzgerald, and again, his business is Davon Fitzgerald Photography. So, Davon, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm an aspiring photographer who basically is all into fashion and beauty and everything in that nature, anything that has to do with makeup, whatever, it just always fascinates me. So, yeah, I'm just a person who has big dreams and trying to make it out in the world and, you know, is very fascinated with fashion and trends and, you know, basically just stuff that has to do with style.
Right, style, creativity. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, creativity.
Mm-hmm. And you like to capture it on, you know, through your camera.
Yeah, because pictures really, for me, is just, you know, telling a story, really. As long as I think you can tell a story, you don't really need paper or pencil. All you need is a model, a camera, an idea, and some makeup, and you're good, you know.
Right,
because,
absolutely.
And you really, because my whole goal is really just to set, you know, it's to tell a story with every photo I take. You know, even if it might not come to you directly, you can, when you look at it, you can see it. And that was one. That's always one of my goals.
Right. So what inspires you to, you know, want to become a photographer? You know, is it just the outlet of your infatuation with, you know, makeup, the style, fashion, trends?
Yeah.
Is it something a little bit deeper than that?
I think it's a little bit deeper than that as well. It was just basically, like I said before, telling a story, but yet I didn't want to write, you know? So I said, I can come up with something else. So at one point, I wanted to do fashion design at first, but then I couldn't draw, honestly. So I was like, okay, let me come up with something let me come up with something else. And I always loved photography. Like, I was always, you know, fascinated with the David LaChapelles and, you know, and people who, I was always fascinated with how, like, whenever I saw a photo or anything, I'm like, wow, I like this, you know, and it was something more deeper than just, you know, oh, this picture's clear, this picture's nice. It felt like, you know, I could feel myself with that camera, or I guess it was more on a deeper level with me, because I think everything is on a deeper level with me. But yeah,
hey, it's nothing wrong with that. Mhm.
Yeah, and I was like, I always loved photography, and I loved. I used to do it at my church at one point. You know, just doing photography at my church, and I was like, it was interesting, but it really wasn't. You know, it wasn't interesting for me because it didn't have to do with fashion or any type of thing like that. It was just taking pictures at an event and stuff like that. And so I said, let me try to do something different. I'm gonna start doing photo shoots, like legit photo shoots. And I did that, and I loved it, and didn't stop, so.
Right. So that's awesome. So we already know, like, you know, what inspires you, which is great concepts and things of that nature. But what do you like to, you know, put in front of you aside from just the fashion and the trends? Are you the type of photographer that like to step out of the box all the time and you can just shoot anything?
Oh, yeah. The thing about photography is there's so many different photographers. There's so many photographers out there. So you have to, if you think of making it out there, you're going to have to get your name out there. You're going to have to be a little bit different. You're going to have to be a little bit weird and, you know, because there's millions of other people who's trying to become a photographer. So that's one thing that I learned from the beginning, you know, like, you know, don't take it for granted. Basically just step outside the box, do what you have to do to make it up there, you know, because for me, I love things that's weird. I love things that's different. I love things that, you know, like the Lady Gagas and Kesha's and, you know, Alexander McQueen, you know, that type of stuff. I like that stuff. So I said, I'm going to just do that. You know, I'm going to try to do something different. Because if you just take plain pictures, do plain pictures, you know, people are like, oh, that's okay. And then they'll go on to the next one, you know. So that was always with me. It's just basically just stepping outside the box, being weird and creative, and, yeah, basically just calling the shot.
Right. Just being in control of the creativity that you're surrounded with, you know, and taking
because
the things that are just sitting.
Photographers are kind of like the directors, like directors of a movie, if you think of it. Like, you know, they basically, they're in control, you know, it's their job to guide the models. It's their job to see if everything looks right, you know, even the makeup, the hair, whatever, it's looking right, the environment, you know, because if not, if you have no passion or anything, you know, lights is okay, lights is all right, but if you have no passion or your model has no emotion, then basically, you know, you're fired, really, you know. Like, okay, you know, basically.
Right, it's
so
like a waste of time.
That's what I'm saying, you know, yeah, so that's the whole thing about it. It's just doing something that, like, when you take a picture and a person looks at it, they should be like, wow. You know, they should immediately be taken, like, you know, taken back, like, whoa, this is beautiful, you know? So, yeah.
Then that's what you're bringing forth, and I love it. I love your energy, you know. So are there any, like, new projects or stuff that you're working on right now that you'd like
right
to
now,
share with
I'm
us?
Doing, well, right now I'm doing one in my basement, actually, but it's an actual legit, like, photo shoot. But the thing is, it's supposed to be kind of like a Halloween / fashion at the same time shoot. Like, it's basically, like, you know, it's H&M Express, you know, regular, but it has a different dark side to it. I'm going to have the fog machine and everything going on. And, you know, it's more of a, it's like a, I like, for me, like, not in a bad way, but I kind of like darkness. Like, so I said, I'm going to try to do something a little bit different, something that I haven't seen before. So I have a bunch of ideas. So, but right now, I'm just putting it into the works right now. I'm just have to get the equipment and then I'm good. So right now I'm working on that. And I'm talking to my godmother, and we're supposed to do a photo shoot for her and her mother. Like, this one is actually going to be a little bit different. It's supposed to be a portrait for her.
Oh, nice.
For her mother, because her mother is getting old, and I think she's like 93, I believe. Yeah, and you know, she's like, I want to take some more pictures of her. So
right, absolutely.
I said, okay, let's try to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I'm coming up with contracts and stuff, you know, trying to get it up there. And then once I start getting up there, that's when the company can really branch out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One step at a time. One step at a time.
Yeah.
Because I was just saying that, you know, I've been going, crazy, just doing so much that I had a meltdown on Monday and Tuesday this week. And then I blacked out and I didn't remember. All the stuff that people were telling me I was doing, because I was so overwhelmed with everything that I'm trying to, like, cram together in a short time, that I just had a freaking serious meltdown for 2 days.
Oh, wow. See, the thing for me is my biggest weakness is the fact that I'm always focusing on the future. Like, I'm always like, you know, how is this going to be, you know, in 10 years? You know, how is this going to look? And what's going to happen now? You know, and next thing you know, I'm like, well, focus on right now first. before you try to go crazy on the future. And that's what I'm trying to, that's what I'm working on is, you know, worrying about what's going on right now instead of, I mean, it's good to focus on the future, don't get me wrong, but I'm like, I'm always, you know, I got to do this for the future. This, you know, because I think, I guess so many things that I've seen people, you know, 40 years old still, you know, like, I guess, like, they're really still trying to get to where they are. And, you know, and I'm like, I don't want to be there at 40. You know, I want to be way up there. You know, I don't want to have to be aspiring. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So, absolutely.
That's why I'm always worrying about the future. And, you know, and I see that sometimes it's not a good thing.
Absolutely. So is there, like, places, like, you have your packages together and stuff like that as far as, like, prices and rates and stuff of that nature?
Oh, yeah.
Where are you based at? You know, are you one of those photographers that like to travel to people? People travel
I like to travel. I like to travel to people. Yeah. Right now, I like to travel to people until I get my location. So yeah, I travel to people, and I have a package of you know, basically of how much I charge, which isn't that much at all. And do you need info, like my info or anything like that?
Yeah, definitely. We need to know, like, where people can find you at, all the listeners that are interested in booking something with Davon. Again, I worked with him before. He's very fun. He's very cute. he's awesome. And, you know, he has a creative eye. So, you know, he's definitely, like he said, he has a lot of different ideas and concepts. So anyone that's interested in reaching Davon, they could reach him at where, Davon, where they can find you at?
You can either find me at my own. You can email me at djf935@yahoo.com. Once again, that's djf935@yahoo.com.
I'm sorry to cut you off. Are you on any
social
networks?
Yeah.
Any social networks? Which one?
Yes. www.facebook.com/sexydavon. Yes. And,
no, that's right.
And you can, I don't know, that's so it's facebook.com/sexydavon, and that's the only thing I have right now because Twitter is too confusing right now. So once I get that figured out, you know, then I can.
Definitely, because you know what, Davon, do not even feel bad because I'm just, and I'm still not there yet. I'm trying to find a Twitter holics. I'm trying to learn from a Twitter holic because I need them to tell me how to really do this thing. Like, I'm learning how to do it. I know how to tweet, and I know how to look, you know, friend people and follow their tweets and stuff like that. But, you know, that the little
like,
codes
okay,
and stuff they use.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But for me right
still
now, it's just like, you know, everybody's like, well, you're 18. You know, you should be all equipped and, you know what you're doing. I'm like, listen, I know about a lot of other things, but that one is not my
Exactly. And, you know, just for the record, everyone, he is 18, believe it or not. I know there's a lot of 18-year-olds out there. There's a lot of 28, 48, 58-year-olds out there that don't have the, you know, the mind frame and the tenacity that Davon has. So, yes, y'all not, you know, you're not talking to, like, some old man up here, but he does have, like, an old soul, and he's very mature, and, you know, it's just amazing to me, too, guys. It's amazing to me, too. Because I didn't put your age out there, you know, because I didn't know if it was appropriate for you or not, but being that you plugged it out there, you know, I just had to reiterate that, like, yeah, you know, you hear him talking, this is an 18-year-old man, okay? True. And you can go have a conversation with a 50-year-old man and don't have such a great conversation with that 50-year-old man. So, yeah, it's crazy to me. It's crazy and it's
Thank
amazing
you.
At the same time.
But, yeah, try to.
It's
I guess
crazy.
The way I was
so many people,
brought up,
this
just,
is
the way I was brought up, it was just basically, you know, just, you don't have to. I mean, you know, once you get to a certain age, you can. You leave certain things behind, you know, you and plus, you know, we were always having intelligent conversations at my house, you know, about politics and everything. So basically it was just taught to me, you know, to be more mature and having to lead by example and stuff like that. So it was just how, because for my little brother, of course, it was just, you know, leading by example. So that's one thing that I always was taught, was just, you know, no matter where you at, you know, show that you're mature and, you know, that you can, that you're actually able to handle yourself, really.
Right, or articulate in full
sentences. Like, well, my mom was always like, well, I want to know that when I'm gone, that you'll be able to fend for yourself and your little brother. And I was like, of course, you know, like, and so that's how I was always taught, you know, she was just, make sure that you can, you'll be all right if anything happens.
Hats off to mom. Hats off to mom because she did an excellent job. Excellent job, totally, you know. Not a
thank
lot
you.
Of people can say the same. No, thank you, you know, for having that maturity and that insight, you know, because even though a lot of us are raised in a proper home, doesn't mean that they walk out as proper people.
Oh, of course not. I've
so
seen
it
that
takes
a lot,
a strong, you know? Grounded individual to be able to be like, you know what, my mom always raised me to be and then be that way. You know what I'm saying? Because so many people have been raised to be a certain way, but they're just totally opposite of everything that they ever were taught. And the first thing the police want to say, the first thing the parents and the neighbors and the people in the street want to say is that, oh, it must started from the home. But no, not all homes are broken homes, you know. It's sometimes people are just broken for whatever issues that they have in their life, and it, maybe they never went through nothing, but maybe it's something that, you know, they feel has affected them in their life, and it doesn't even have to be the family. It could be a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a situation, whatever, that messed them up, and now they're just rebellious against everything in life. You know, so I hate when people use that hearsay about, oh, well, the parent must be this way and it must stem from the home. It doesn't always stem from the home, you know, but it's
but
awesome
it does
that,
make people think that, though, for some reason. I guess
right.
It does make people think, you
know,
like,
I
know. Whoa, you know, how were they taught?
Right, so if I'm an axe murderer and both of my parents were PhDs and I'm an axe murderer, does it mean that I was put in a situation where my parents was on drugs and neglecting me, so I decided to go around killing people? No.
No.
You know, it's just
that
depends
was going
on the individual.
Inside of you, you know, really.
Right.
It's just, so, yeah.
Absolutely, you know. So it just, like I said, the only reason why I'm bringing that up is because I admire the fact that, you know, you can say to the world, like, listen, I was taught to be this way, and it's just that's how it was, and this is how I am, and this is who I choose to be. And versus someone that's like, okay, well, yeah, I went to church every day, and, you know, my family sat at dinner table every day, but F that, I'm going to sit at the on the couch, want to eat on the bed, or whatever, you know what I'm saying, just have those type of about what they do in their life, and then when they have children or little kids that's around them that see that, they just follow the pattern of thinking that that's okay.
Yeah, that's the main thing with me is because, you know, I got a senior little brother who basically is very impressionable, you know, everything that I do, he does. So it's like, you know, you no matter where you got to make sure, you know, you got to set an example for him. So that's the one thing that always was my two main fears were leading him in the wrong direction and disappointing my mother. Those were my main two fears of all time. Like, you know, I never feared anyone or anything except for those two things. And I'm like, that's why before I make any major decision that might affect me or anything, you know, I'm like, how would she feel? You know, how would my mom think about this? Because that look of sheer disappointment, and, you know, it would, that wouldn't sit right with me, really.
Right. Absolutely. So
Devon,
I know that you are a music head.
Yeah.
And I found in a paper, so I wanted to share this with you. You know, they have a concert coming up. They have some concert. You can go to Ticketmaster for all those listening too. They have concerts at thegarden.com, at theatersmsg.com, radiocity.com, and the Beacon Theater. Now, they give a list of different people that I like, that I know you probably will like some of them once I tell you the names too, but they just don't really say where these people are going to be actually playing at. So I'm just giving that little insight to everybody. So here we go. On Mother's Day, there's a concert featuring The Whispers and Stephanie Mills, May 8th.
Oh, you're going back.
And it doesn't say, right, I think it's at the Beacon Theater. So, I mean, just look into that for me, but I like Stephanie Mills and The Whispers. So I'm going to see how much tickets cost because that may just be my Mother's Day present to myself and my mom. They also have the Ultimate Doo-Wop Show, which is featuring Jay Siegel, The Tokens, Jay Terrell, Jay and the American, Herbie Hancock, The Quest Tones, The Crystals and the Reflections, and more. And that's going to be Saturday, June 18th. Then they have, for all our
jazz fans out there.
Yeah, they have a jazz thing, Kenny G and Michael Bolton, which both are both of my favorites, too. And that's Sunday, June 18th. They also have another concert coming up with Earth, Wind, and Fire, their 40th anniversary world tour. That's going to be Tuesday, June 28th. Huh?
I said my grandmother would go crazy.
Okay, that's going to be Tuesday, June 28th and Wednesday, June 29th. They're going to also have, which I've never heard of him, but I'm going to not leave him out of the equation, Matthew Morrison, Friday, July 1st. They're also going to have the last and not least, Jennifer Hudson, with special guests Miguel and Jasmine Sullivan, Wednesday, July 6th. So I just wanted to plug that out there and also share it with you because I know that you're using that. This is going to be at the Beacon Theater.
Oh, okay, Beacon Theater.
Which is
all
in
right. I know that is.
Manhattan. Mm-hmm. I think it's in Manhattan. I think it's in Manhattan. I've been to the Beacon. Yeah, it's in Manhattan. I've been to the Beacon before. It's not like one of those, like, you know, real fancy places, but it does what it has
it's
to
not
do,
huge,
you know. And
it's nice.
It does what it has to do to, you know, make it come across. Because the last time I went to a concert there, I think it was Casey and JoJo. And Casey was clamming up the freaking curtain, and I'm just like, what in the hell is going on here? But, you know, whatever.
Oh,
he had to be sexual. Right, his little one-ounce body out in the audience, and I'm just like, dude, you're going to kill yourself. Do you see how thin you are? You know what I'm saying? Like, and John B. was opening
how do you
up
drink
in case.
Away. How do you drink all your money away? That's what I'm confused about.
Wait, hold on. What do you mean? Did he do that?
Casey and JoJo are hardcore drunks. Like, hardcore.
What?
Yeah, and it was like, you know, so that whole show they did, it was ridiculous. I was like, I can't watch this. It was like another Whitney and Bobby. I can't do it.
What show is this? I didn't even hear about this. Tell me more.
I think it was on Style, I think it was. Or one of those reality show, like, TVs. And they were basically talking about how they were trying to get back in the game. And it was just bad. They looked horrible. I mean, they sounded okay.
Wow.
They sounded good. They didn't sound as good as they were back then, you know, but they sounded okay. But, you know,
okay.
They dealt with liquor hardcore. Like,
wow.
Ridiculous.
So we might need you to come on the show, like, once a week, Davon, and keep us updated on, you know. What's going on out there?
So,
like, come on for 15, 20 minutes and just break it all down.
Because I'm a reality show and entertainment freak, so, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And
artists.
That's definitely beneficial information, too, because, you know what? I knew none of it. So that's beneficial to me because as soon as we get off air, I'm definitely going to Google all of that because I want to see it for myself to crack up.
No, it's just... goes to show, you know, all that fame can really, you know, crumble down on someone, really, you know, because it happened to a lot of people.
Right, it does. It does. And you know what, Davon, also, too, you know, I need a gossip column for the magazine. And I don't have nobody to do that. So think about that for a second. I mean, it's not something that you have to tell me about today or tomorrow or whenever, but the magazine is actually under construction right now, the website, everything. So, you know, just to let you know that hopefully by the end of May, beginning of June, that's going to be launched. On May 21st, I have a meeting that I'm trying to put together for the whole format of each issue for the next 12 months. So I'm just trying to get that all together and stuff like that now. It's just, that's why my brain is just like, ugh, and I'm so everywhere trying to put this together because I want it
to
really
be
awesome.
You need to go, like, go to a spa or something. You need to go to, like, a spa.
No, I will. I will. I was definitely thinking about that the other day because I said, Dad, I need to get some of my little friends together and we need to all go. But you know what? Right now, everybody's saying, oh, I don't have no money and I'm this and I'm that. And I'm like, dude, people spend money on what they want to spend money on. If we make a plan to do something a month from today, with every check that you accumulate within the month, just take out a fraction of that spa package and put it to the side. Because we spend money on fast food, chips, cookies, drama. You know what I'm saying? Whatever we choose to spend the money on is our business because, you know, we make it. But don't. I hate when people come with the excuse that they don't ever have money because who really has – who's living on Capitol Hill? None of us, right? So my thing is, like, anytime there's something that I want to do, that I want to tackle, I don't worry about the cost and effect of it as long as all my bills are paid. I just take out what I can.
Hey, of course.
When I can, to go towards something that I want to achieve, because what the hell? I deserve it.
But that's the thing.
You deserve it. Everyone deserves to have what they want.
That's the thing. People spend it without making sure their bills are paid, which is another issue. That's all.
That's true,
like,
too.
My mom
that's
always
true.
Was like, listen. My mom was like, listen, I would rather be broke than, you know, have my bills paid than to have mad money and with no lights, you know, basically.
Right. Exactly.
Really,
because that's
so.
Stuff that's essential. That's essential because growing up, you know, coming up out of getting my first apartment, I will not lie. I did not know how to really manage my money. I didn't. So I was in a lot of situations with bills because I just did not know how to, you know, funnel my money correctly. But in this day and age, I have learned.
I'm the same way. I can't. No, the thing about me is, like, whenever I'm upset, I can't help it. Like, I got to go to Express. I got to go to H&M, you know. So I'm like, okay, I'm trying to figure out another way to channel it, you know, because me, I know me and I know how I am. So
right.
I'm always working with that. It's always a struggle for me, you know, get upset. But like, you know what, bump this. I'm going to Express.
But you
and
know what I will
thing,
say?
You know,
That's cool that you do that, though, because, you know, everybody has their little thing. Like, some people like to eat, some people like to drink, some people like to take drugs to get over something. But if you are going to spend money on something, just spend it towards your craft, like adding something to your craft instead of in your wardrobe. Because I stopped buying clothes and shoes and bags and stuff, and now the extra money that I accumulate, I use it towards the business aspect of it.
Yeah.
You know, and I might not see it right then and near the comeback, but it's okay because I see that the stuff that I want to see come together is starting to come together slowly but surely. So when you want to spend something, say bump H&M, bump Express, and let me go to the Canon store, wherever the hell it is that photographers go. Because I have no idea where you guys go, if it's online or if it's for software or whatever.
Mine is right next to my house. Well, not right around the corner from my house. So it's a photo store, and it's just they have all type of cameras, all types of camera equipment and everything. So that's where I got all my equipment.
Wow. Awesome. Because I was also, someone told me, a photographer that I just recently met, his work is awesome. He was doing illustration abstracts and all this for a company, but he got laid off. So now he just started, you know, trying to figure out what he was going to do because he's been sending out resumes like everybody and trying to get work, but it's just not happening, et cetera, et cetera. So therefore, he started to just funnel with a camera and start trying to put his abstracts into photography and all this and all that. And I'll shoot you his info because that way you could take a look at his work. He's really amazing. I mean, I was just like, wow, it looks like this stuff is like in three dimension, the way he popped it off of the paper. He said he don't use Photoshop. He don't like Photoshop program. He's using it's a program from Mac, from the Apple store. And I think it's iFamily or something like that, or something he was telling me. But definitely when I get that information, I'll pass it on to you. Because if you see the quality in his pictures and what this program is allowing him to do with these pictures, it's crazy. And it's not expensive. It's like $80 or $90, something like that, for the program.
Oh, okay. That's not bad at all.
No, not especially coming
about
from Apple.
The thing about photos, like, really, like, that's why a lot of people who were into, like, who did, who's an artist, or, you know, basically people, they really started off with photography, or they like blended those two together. Like, you know, basically just people, and I love that, you know, the show, the artistic side and your photo skills, like everything together is just really, really,
yeah, it's really, really good. Exactly. So, you know, he's open to, like, sharing and talking and stuff like that. So far, you know, it's a female also that's from Russia that wants to work with the magazine as well. I haven't really got to, you know, converse with her yet, but I'm definitely going to make time to talk to her because I looked at some of her, you know, close-up shots, and she has a whole little website built up and everything. I took a look at it real quick, but I didn't thoroughly look at it. But the gentleman that I was just talking to you about, you know, he has a little five-year-old daughter. He's an older guy, too. He's, like, in like probably in his 40s going on 50s. So, basically, you know, he's just picking up this, you know, craft now and mastering it, and it's just really awesome to see. So, I want to give you all their information so that way you can, you know, kind of, you guys could kind of, like, funnel through each other, like, different things. Because I figure, like, hey, listen, if one person has a software and the software is compatible with what you have, then why can't we share and help each other, you know, each other?
You know? If there was some stuff that I wanted you to see, or, you know, that I felt that could help you, I would definitely give it to you. You know, I would email it to you or whatever.
Right, definitely.
Because, you know, basically what your whole thing is, you shouldn't be selfish and try to keep all the stuff. You know, I want to be successful. You know, survival of the fittest. No, it's really just, you know, you want to upbring everybody else. You know, you want to help yourself and other people at the same time. So that's one thing that I was always into. You know, just basically, like, you know, sharing is caring, show.
Right, exactly. It's always good to see someone. If I was into photography and I had everything that I needed and I had skills, but doesn't mean that the person that I meet does have less skills than me. It just means that together we can kind of bring forth something different, because your ideas with my ideas and stuff like that, something I could help you with, something you could help me with, from what I learned 20 years ago, quote unquote, with someone coming in new into photography is learning is something totally different, because now it's two different spectrums. One person could teach the old school, one person could update with the new school, and then come and bring it together to be like some crazy stuff. So, you know, that's one thing that I'm definitely trying to bring forth too, because all of photographers and all of the makeup artists, et cetera, that I work with, I want everyone to have a connection with each other as family. You know, so that way when it's like, hey, you know, the magazine is going to shoot with Davon, this one's going to be with Mr. Cannon, this one is going to be with...
I honestly think that no one has, I don't think people are better than other people. I just feel like, you know, we all are creative in a different way, basically.
Absolutely.
So if you're a photographer, if you do transformations in photography, you do a great job in the transformations. I do beauty and life photography. And movement, for example, which is completely different. I mean, which is somewhat different, but we're both really good photographers. We just have two different creative minds and two different styles. So not just like singers, for example. You know, you might be a deeper singer, or you know, no one is really better than other people. I think it's just, you know, you have your own creative style.
Right.
And then sometimes if your creative style is brought up a little bit more, you know, than other people's. But to say that you're actually better, then no.
No, no one's better than anyone. That's just not how I live. I just don't feel like there's someone that's better. I just think that if you want a certain look, like I'm a licensed cosmetologist, right? But there's certain hairstyles that I can't do, or there's certain techniques
like
that I cannot do. Right. You know what I'm saying? It just depends on what it is that I'm trying to achieve for an individual. Now, when I was doing here, I had a lot of clients, and sometimes it was so many where it was like I could never go home. So I used to ask other stylists in a salon to do here, help me do here. And if the person wound up staying with this person because they liked the way they did their hair opposed to the way I did it, then that's fine. You know, because that's as long as you're happy
that
with what you're getting, then that's fine.
You
know,
can
but
now
me
go home
personally,
and go to sleep, you know.
Right, and then personally, there's certain things that I won't do as a stylist because I know that it's not who I am and what I'm trying to bring forth when I do hair. When I take care of someone's hair, it's only certain stipulations that I like to follow, and not to say that there's not new things, but if you're just a stylist that just like to style, and that's it. That's fine. But I'm a stylist that's into the health of the hair, because without healthy hair, there is no hair to style. So a lot of people lose focus on that because you get your license or you know how to do hair and you just go and start creating these hairstyles and stuff. But what about the condition of the hair after these hairstyles or before these hairstyles? And I worked too hard to get my cosmetology, my license, my cosmetology license, to let someone come and try to sue me and take it away because I was too careless and I'm just worried about taking the money and just doing your hair, giving you what you think you should have when I know better. As a stylist, like, listen, your hair is damaged. This is what's going on, and I'm not going to do that to your hair. So if you want somebody to do that, then you need to go to somebody else's station or go to another salon because I'm not doing it. So that's the type of stylist I am. I'm not into just giving people what they think they should have in their hair because, first of all, no, your face don't go with this hairstyle, and no, you don't have the amount of hair to pull off this hairstyle, and your hair is damaged, and no, you can't get color. And some people would just do it just because.
Because
and
of
I'm
the money, of course.
One,
money is great.
You know, you could, if you see like 100 people a day for $15, you know what I'm saying, or 200 shampoos a day for $15, $20, how much money do you think that stylist is using on treatment, conditioner, and all that for your hair? They're not spending no money. That's why they're charging you nothing. Now, if you go into a salon and they charge you $35 to wash your hair, best to believe it's because they're using more expensive products.
Yeah.
You know, so people don't think about that. They want to go run and get a $10 wash instead of $15 wash and set. These people are using shampoo. They're using dishwashing liquid. Or they're using shampoo that's stripping your hair and making your hair more dry. Then they taking you and putting you under the dryer for hours. And after they take you from under the dryer, they blow drying your hair with that hot behind blow dryer for like 15 minutes and pulling your hair and making it drier. And you wonder why your hair is breaking off. You know what I'm saying? So that's what type of people like to formulate around, because they want to take the easy way out of stuff. But, you know, everybody has their vision in any craft that they have. And my vision was to have healthy hair and damn the hairstyle. I'd rather have good hair than a hairstyle.
That's true.
You know,
that is definitely true.
Mm-hmm. And just like with you, you know, you have your vision with how you like to shoot. Everyone has their vision, and that's what makes us all individuals, and that's what makes us unique, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Because I would hate for people to say, you know, oh, this isn't, you know, you should do it this way. Listen, because society now is basically telling you, you know, everybody has to be this way. Everybody has to be the same. So, which is why at one point I started hiding myself, because I felt like, you know, I can't be different, you know, because people are going to look at me and call me weird, or, you know, I can't be anybody, you know, I can't be weird. I can't be different. I can't have, you know, style, anything. And, you know, I can't do the whole fashion thing because, you know, one, they'll think, you know, they'll judge me. They'll call me all types of names, and then they'll say, you know, oh, you're different. You know, because society at one point was throwing people down for being different, you know. Oh, you're weird. You know, you shouldn't do that. So then, but then at one point, I'm like, you know what, I felt like I was deceiving people, you know. I can't keep deceiving people and myself, really. I have to just be myself, really. I have to, you know, do whatever I have to do. And that's what I did. Now, it works out better for me. I'm more happy. You know, I don't have to worry about, you know, what other people think and, you know, what people have to say. With honesty, now I'm like, I don't give a damn. You know?
Right, exactly. So that's all that matters. Doing what you feel is best for you at all times is all that should ever matter. And that's what people need to understand. Like, you know, it's about us, but it's about the others, that if it's not going to hurt nobody, then fine. But if it's something that is going to affect someone, then, you know, yeah, I have a problem with it. But other than that, if it's not, and it's just really something that you're doing for yourself and it's about how your vision is and how you want to play it out, then people should just fall back, play their role, and respect someone else's wishes, because if you were trying to step on their toes and stop them from doing what they had to do, they wouldn't like it. But anyways, Avon, the show is about to end. So I just want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing your creativity with us. Anytime you want to come back on, you're more than welcome to come back on. Anytime you just want to come and guest host with me and interview some people with me, I mean, you're definitely always welcome. This is home for you too. Yes, please do that. Especially, I would love that. So, everybody, this is Davon Fitzgerald Photography. Look him up on Facebook. Look him up on what else you said you had going on? Your email address. Give that out real quick. Again.
Okay, DJF935@yahoo.com.
Definitely. Look him up. Do you have some pictures and stuff on your Facebook? That people
I'm putting
see your photo
up, I'm
album?
Putting them up right now, actually.
Okay,
I'm uploading them now,
so,
right now, so.
Good. So all you listeners out there, you know, look him up. Look at his work. You know, book him ASAP. Book him ASAP is definitely what's going to happen. He's going to
oh,
be actually
one
working
thing
with.
For people. One thing for the people, I'm going to let you know, is be prepared to work. Like, be prepared to do something different. Nothing, you know, no ordinary photo shoots with me. Sorry.
Okay,
so,
be ready for the creativity or stay home.
Yeah.
Or definitely stay home. Again, this is Davon Fitzgerald Photography. Is one of my babies that I love very, very much. Look him up. He's going to be working with me in the magazine. And, you know, let's just try to stay in tune. If anybody have any questions or anything that they want to ask him or just check out his photos, look him up, Davon Fitzgerald. He's under my Intune friend list if you guys can't find him by his email. Until Tuesday, guys, stay in tune. Davon, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Have a good night.
All right. You too.
Okay, bye. So thank you all for, you know, coming on the show and making it a blast as usual. Have a good night. See you guys Tuesday.